Hey everyone, my name is Nick Brandt. I'm one of the senior leaders here at Circuit Riders. I want to welcome you to the Circuit Rider podcast. If you don't know us, we're a YWAM missional community based here in Huntington Beach, California. Our passion is Jesus, our mission field is our generation, and we believe our opportunity is now. I want to sincerely thank you for being a part of our broader community. Enjoy this podcast.
Okay, I'm just going to comment on this first, okay? Bryce was wearing a Michael Vick jersey. The Atlanta Falcons. I am wearing a Virginia Tech Michael Vick jersey. That was not planned in any way, shape, or form. We don't coordinate outfits in Circuit Riders. If you are an atheist in the room, what are the odds of that happening? Seriously. Either that's proof of God to you or someone should buy a... Either that's proof of God to you or someone should buy a lottery ticket on the way home. And if you do, share a cut with me. Just a milli if you win. Let's pray. Jesus, we want the inbreaking of the kingdom. We want your image to reflect through our lives. We do not want to be Sunday Christians, gathering Christians who show up and our lives do not reflect you in any way, shape, or form outside of these walls. We want to be people who embody and represent you as your disciples. Just want you guys to pray this with me. Jesus, I want your kingdom. I want to be transformed by you. I want to reflect you. Amen. Tonight's title for the message is The Gospel in Motion, the Real Life Practices of a Disciple. Last week, our question with Nick, how many of you are here for last week? Raise your hand, please, high, so I can see. Most of you have context for some of the things I'm going to be saying. Last week, the question that Nick introduced was, do you want Jesus as way, as truth, and as life? This week, our question is as sharp and pointed. It's a question all of you need to ask immediately following the answer to the previous question. If you said yes to Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, how should you live? What should your life now look like? If grace has met you, what does grace cause in you? How do you live out this way? Stay tethered to this truth, and keep growing into this life. Let me set the foundation for you tonight. Imagine if Nick, Zach, and myself never spoke at this Monday night, and instead a man spoke who had authority over demons, over sickness, over disease, and over nature itself. Imagine if the man who spoke on these Monday nights carried authority in such a way that when he communicated, the rich, the poor, those of low status, and those of elite status, does not matter, all came to hear and were in awe and shock of his words, whether enraged or with joy. Imagine if these Monday nights were so packed because of this man, that it was standing room everywhere. Everybody sat. There was not a place on the floor that could be seen. So much so that the garage doors over here were opened and it was overflowing. So much so that we had to get speakers so that into the parking lots people could hear. Imagine if it got so crazy that police helicopters had to fly over just to make sure that this was a peaceful religious gathering. Imagine if that was the context of our gathering and the man on stage got up and started to speak. And when he spoke, a silence fell over the room and out there in such a way that all of us could hear a pin drop. Hush breath. And when he spoke, imagine if he got up and said this. There was a farmer. And the farmer had seed, and he threw this seed onto soil in order for it to grow and bear fruit. Some of the seed fell on a pathway where birds picked it up. Some of the seed fell among rocky soil, and as it grew, the root couldn't catch deep, and so when it grew, the sun scorched it and it died. Some of the seed fell among thistles and thorns, and instead of it growing, it grew and got choked and died. And some of the seed fell on good soil, and it grew, bore fruit 30, 60, 100-fold. The person who has ears to hear, let them hear. And then he got off stage. In Mark chapter 4, this is exactly what happens. We see Jesus with crowds prior to this. Yet in Mark chapter 4, at the very beginning, it says a very large crowd had gathered to him, and he told a 30-second message on farming with no context and didn't explain it, and just said, if you get it, you get it. First side note for tonight, a true disciple of Jesus always wants to go deeper when Jesus said something. The crowds did not attend to Jesus and ask him, hey, what'd you mean by that? I thought he was weird. I was here to be healed. I was here to be entertained by your message. I was here to hear someone that was greater than the Pharisees and the Sadducees. I was here to see someone command nature. The crowd stayed far off. They weren't disciples. They didn't want to know more. The disciples come to Jesus and ask what? What'd you mean? When you said that, what were you implying? What were you getting at? What is the depth of your statement? The true disciple always wants to hear more from Jesus. When he says something, they don't stop there. They go deeper. What's it mean and how does it impact my life? Jesus then explains to the disciples, Mark chapter 4, verse 13 through 20. Here's what he says. Do you not understand the parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown, where they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word as it is sown to them. And these are the ones on rocky grounds, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. Careful. It's not always the way you receive something. It's what you do with what you received after. They received it with joy. Endure for a while, but when tribulation and persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. He goes on. And others are the ones who are sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on good soil are the ones who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Here's the foundation that I want to lay for you tonight. How do you make sure that you are the kind of disciple that bears fruit? How do you make sure, this is for Circuit Rider staff, this is for those who attend Monday nights, this is for anyone and everyone in the room that bears the name of Jesus. Jesus is not talking about your immediate entrance into the kingdom. He's talking about what happens after. So this is the foundation, because Jesus warns here that there are people that will joyfully receive Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. Happily, screaming on a Monday night, yes, at summer camp, yes. And then what happens 2 weeks after summer camp? I would like to sleep with that girl again. I would like to be in this context where I'm cool again. I'm being made fun of for being a Christian, a radical Christian, whatever that means. Thought I was just a Jesus follower. I'm being made fun of for following Jesus. I'm not about this anymore. And you might not say it, but your life proves it. They turn out unfruitful and fall away because there is something wrong with the soil of their heart. It's deeper than just actions. It goes to the very core of, and here's Jesus' point, what you prioritize after you start following him. One of the great dangers of starting to follow Jesus is that when grace meets you, you don't respond to grace properly. You get excited and you go, I'm gonna go to heaven now. And you don't understand that it's not merely about going to heaven. As a matter of fact, it's not really about that at all. Most of what's gonna happen for all eternity is gonna take place on this planet with Jesus coming back to it, and the dead are raised and you get a new body as a believer. Not just floating somewhere ethereal like an angel in heaven. You will live on this planet ruling and reigning with Christ if you are in him. More on that for another message. What do you prioritize? Jesus highlights here that the person that receives the word joyfully, yet the seed was in rocky soil of their heart, or receives it joyfully and the seed is thrown into thorny soil or thorn-filled soil, these people have wrong priorities. Jesus was something, but he was not everything. Hear me very clearly. Have you ever had someone say, following Jesus is a relationship? You know what I've never heard contrasted to that statement? If entering into following Jesus transforms your relationship with him, then it also transforms your relationship with everything else. You actually have a new relationship with everything and anything else on the planet now. Not just Jesus, the relationship with the person next to you. The relationship with how you viewed sex and money and marriage and how you viewed politics and anything and everything all now finds a new relationship because your relationship with him changed. Most people don't understand this. We create a dichotomy. I follow Jesus sometimes. I call myself a Christian, kind of like I'm wearing a jersey right now. There's no logo on it, but if there was, we're like, I'm a Christian, that's the logo of my team. Wrong. It's not just a jersey you wear. It's something that transforms the inside of you and changes everything about you. And so these two soils, I'm not going to focus on Satan snatching the word right now. I want to focus on these two.